You get the most attention when you are the victim. So it's the opposite of Christianity.
Looking back, what were some of the hardest struggles that you guys came across?
I thought, okay, so I quit, then what? I'll show to my kids, yeah, God didn't really call us. We're not really sure. I thought, no.
Let the weak say, I am strong.
You have to know God's called you.
We're just living in times that the church is rising.
Yeah. We have a choice. You're never a victim. Yeah. You get to choose.
Whatever has been provided by grace must be received by faith.
It's not a how much faith problem. It's a closeness problem.
They don't dare to say what God has said about them.
I grew up in a very stable Christian home, but I never knew any of this.
Hello and welcome to Victory Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about everyday life through a faith lens, living in victory. And today we are joined by some special guests. Thank you for joining us today.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for having us. It's an honor and a privilege to be with you. We are John and Ingrid Housing of Impact Nations Ministries in Red Deer. Our home church is Impact Life Church with our son and daughter-in-law, Pastors Joel and Jamie.
Yes, we had them on the podcast
a little bit ago.
Exactly. Yeah. So we pastored that church. Back then it was called Family of Faith Church. We started in 1992.
That's right,
And we sometimes say we started from scratch, but really it was from an itch, a Holy Ghost itch. You know, we just felt really strong about starting a Word of Faith church in our region.
Yes, and you said that was Red Deer.
It was in Red Deer, Alberta. Mm-hmm. And we started it in 1992 because the Lord led us to start it.
Yeah.
We had no idea of how it was going to go, if we would have two people at our home or 2,000. While, you know, it would be probably closer to two. But we had no idea what was going to happen. We just did it with word of mouth. We're going to start a brand new church.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
We put a bit of an advertising, I believe, in the paper. And 25 people showed up, at our home, which was a great start for us.
Yes.
And we were really clear, you know, we want to start a Word of Faith church with an emphasis on faith, of course, but we want to function as a family. And so over the years, we grew. The Lord blessed us in so many different ways with seeing people become born again, filled with the Spirit.
So good.
We saw many, many people receive healing. And we were able to purchase a building during that time that we had a loan for, I believe, 20 some odd years. Paid it off in 10 years. Those were just really wonderful things.
That's so good.
So then in 2016, actually a little bit earlier, but it took us a little bit of time to put everything into place. We actually, we felt the Lord lead us to go out into the nations since 2013. To make that happen, of course, you know, you can't just announce that from the platform. And then do it the next Sunday. The Lord supernaturally helped us, you know, with other people coming in. And they were the ones through the Spirit of God, they let the church know what's about to happen. Well, it didn't come to anybody's surprise, but it is nice for someone else by the Spirit who did not know us to let our congregation know what was going to happen next. And, you know, Joel was the most natural, I don't want to say just choice, like he was groomed. You know, he was born to do what he's doing now.
Yes. Was he born when the church started in 1992?
Yes, he was already born.
He was like five.
He was five.
That's fine. They're little. We just had two boys at the time. Joel was five.
So
Evan was three.
Going back, all right, so you had an itch in 1992 to start, and then another itch for, I guess, evangelistic ministry. right?
Well, evangelistic, yeah. It's definitely an evangelistic ministry, but our aim is to also start more churches like we have. And add a leadership training center to it in different strategic parts of the world.
Okay.
For instance, well, we've done work in many different nations, but the ones that are really coming into being right now would be Impact Australia with our daughter Chloe, who's an associate pastor on the Sunshine Coast. And we are working on Impact Cuba. So and what our aim is to train pastors to not only start churches but train their people, right? Because we're just living in times that the church is rising, right? It has always that way, but it seems to me that we're catching on. You know, we're just catching on to what needs to happen.
That's right.
That, you know, people don't just come to church just to attend. You know, a church should not be measured by how many attend, but by how many are sent who are actively involved with ministry.
Yeah, that's good.
So that's what we're involved with. As a matter of fact, next month, we are going to start an Impact Cuba conference. An Impact Cuba conference. So we're expecting about 100 pastors to come. We did it last year, and about 150 people came. So it may happen again the same way. But our goal is 100 pastors. Who can take our message, the word of faith, which we preach, and train people. In the word and the spirit of faith.
That's right.
That's amazing.
That's so good.
That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's been what? You said almost 40 years now that you've been
total
in ministry.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
In ministry.
Yeah.
So about almost 10 years now has been, what is it?
Impact Nations.
Impact Nations.
Yeah. Impact Nations Ministries.
Yeah.
We are sent from Impact Life Church.
Yes.
So we are accountable to them. We give a report every so often how the Lord has is leading and has blessed us. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Wow. And then you mentioned that your son transitioned the church, and then you have a daughter in Australia.
Yes.
As well. How many kids do you have? How many?
We have five children.
Five children.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then how many of those are in ministry? Like,
well,
working?
They all are in some capacity.
Wow. Yeah.
Of course, Joel.
Yeah.
And then Javen, he is at the church and he does the youth.
Okay.
And a lot of like other things, whatever Joel needs him to do. And then Chloe. Chloe's in Australia.
Yeah.
And Eric, he works at the church as well. He's like the computer guy, the sound guy, the that. And then our youngest, Marcel, he helps Javen with the youth as well.
That's amazing.
We are so thankful.
Yeah.
We are so thankful to the Lord.
Come on. Well, we believe very strong that God not only saves families, believe in the Lord, and you and your household will be saved, but he calls families.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And and our in-laws, like, they're amazing. We're so thankful for them all.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stories there, but God is faithful.
Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. Amen.
So for doing it for so long, for almost 40 years, and, you know, walking out this vision and what God had called you guys to do, looking back, what were some of the hardest struggles that you guys came across, and how did you overcome some of those things?
Well, first of all, let me give you my own personal story.
Yes.
For sure.
And that was, you know, I was born again and spirit-filled in 1979. So my life is taking off. You know, I had not met Ingrid. We did know one another, but we had not really met yet. That happened in 1980. But it's during that time, I was working at an agriculture college, Olds College. You know, so my life is going well. I'm born again, spirit filled. I'm a happy camper. But as I'm working at Olds College, you know, I walked into the building one time. I put in my time card, And I heard the Spirit of God tell me very strong, mm-hmm. I've called you mm-hmm. to plant a different seed. Mm-hmm. So I knew the Lord had called me to preach, mm-hmm. yes. which I always kind of knew, but I pushed it away because mm-hmm. I had a stuttering problem.
Okay.
Right? I had a speech impediment. I couldn't talk.
Okay.
So as a matter of fact, I'm going into agriculture because in my mind, I'm thinking I'm going to buy a farm. Up north, Alberta.
Yes.
That's what my plan was.
That's where you go to farm.
That way I don't have to talk to many people, but I can still make a decent living.
Right.
Right? That's my plan. Mm-hmm. So now that plan gets, you know, sideswiped royally by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because he told me, you know, I've called you to plant a different seed.
That's right.
I'm actually seeding. At during this time.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to the Lord all day long, first trying to let him know you got the wrong guy, but I didn't hear anything back. I'd heard of Moses by the time, so obviously I can't say no.
Yeah.
I can't say no, and I didn't want to say no, but I didn't want to say yes, because in my mind that would open up a can of worms.
Goodness,
like I was sweating just even thinking about that. But at the end of the day, of that day, I said to the Lord, Lord, I will do it, but you're going to have to help me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I didn't know exactly what that meant. Secretly, I was hoping that I would wake up one morning and all my problems are gone, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not faith.
No.
That's a fairy tale.
That's right.
Faith will face your giant.
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
That's,
right?
Yeah, that's good.
And but during the time, a gentleman by the name of Brother Kenneth E. Hagin came by. I did not know him. I did not know Kenneth Copeland either at that time. That came a little bit later. But he came in our area, and some well-meaning people believed I should go to the meeting. Yeah. So I said, sure, I'll go. It was in Edmonton and in Calgary as well. Mm-hmm. So I went to the meeting, and Brother Hagin preached a real simple message on the woman with the issue of blood.
Mm-hmm.
He read the story to us in the audience. He asked us, stating, now, what did Jesus say made a woman whole?
Mm-hmm.
Did he say, my grace has made you whole?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounded really good to my religious trained ears because I was taught everything is by grace.
Yes.
Right.
And that's true, but there's more to the story.
Yeah.
And the next question he asked us was, did he say my power or my anointing made you whole? Again, that sounded really good to my ears. I don't know the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have my Bible with me because I wasn't used to those kind of meetings.
Right.
So, but my neighbor who was healed that night of ALS, actually, he had a Bible with him. He had it on his lap.
Wow.
So I leaned over. I checked what Jesus said.
Yeah.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Yeah.
Where Jesus said, daughter, your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
And I thought, there's my answer.
That's right.
So I learned that night that whatever has been provided by grace must be received by faith.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. A good word. Yeah.
So I thought, okay, there's my answer.
Yeah.
I, you know, all I got to do is get me some faith.
Yeah.
So the devil, of course, the devil was right there, of course. Yeah, and he said, well, you don't have to worry about that. You don't have any. But I said to myself, well, even if I don't have any, I'm going to find out about it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, a little while later, Ingrid and I, we started dating. And, you know, we started talking about Brother Hagin. We went to the camp meetings. During that time, we became more familiarized with Brother Copeland. I remember driving in this area.
Yeah.
Brother Copeland was what was on the radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't know him, but I thought he sounds a lot like Brother Hagin. Right? Like, it's the same message. Because it's not just what is being said. It's how it was presented to us that made a huge difference. It was so real.
It was so real to us.
So I can't say that I was healed immediately, but over time, as I laid hold on the word, it changed me from the inside out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was my own personal struggle. We've, you know, if you want to talk about struggle, where do you want us to begin? But
well, can we just testify real quick that I do not hear a stuttering problem right now? Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Come on.
Yes.
That's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah. So what about you, my babe?
Like a struggle?
Yes.
Well, no, you know, I have to say this, like when we started the church in 92 and then a few years in, it was kind of hard going. People were staying away by the thousands, right? And that's not what we had thought it would be.
Yeah.
You know, we think, oh, we preach the word and people will come. And,
right. Yeah.
But through all that struggling, God was so faithful because I thought, you know, Lord, you are the head of the church.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know you've called us to do this, so we will stay steady. Mm-hmm. And there was often times you were saying, okay, I'm done. And I say, no, no, you're not. And then I'd say, I'm done. And he said, no, you're not. Yeah. So you can really see, wow. I was so thankful. Yeah. We're thankful for each other in that way.
Yeah.
Because we knew we were called.
Right.
We knew we had an assignment from the Lord and we were just going to do it. And we thought, well, you got to kind of suck it up, princess. I said to myself, this is what you're doing. And we had children.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, so I quit. Then what? Yeah. I'll show to my kids. Yeah, God didn't really call us. We're not really sure. I thought, no, I got to teach them better than that.
Right.
And that was a bit of a motivation for me as well.
Yeah.
You keep going. You show your children that God's word is true.
That's right.
You have to. Like, there's no choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So God is so faithful. Over the years, He's been so faithful to us.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm so thankful for him.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like nothing is easy, right? Like even if you're just in regular business, whatever, nothing is easy.
Yeah.
So you just got to stand on the word, right? Because, exactly. Because God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He is true to his word.
That's right.
He's not true to man's opinion. Mm. He's not true to our feelings.
Yeah.
He's not true to our past experiences.
Yeah.
He's true and faithful to his word. Yeah. So that's the connection, right? So if we're faithful to his word, that's how he's going to be faithful to us as well.
Well, and also if I can add this too, like looking at it now, we've given it over to Joel and Jamie.
Right.
That's right.
They've taken the church to a level we could have never achieved.
Wow.
And
no, that's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, because that's their call.
Right. Yeah.
And if we would have stopped and said, it would have not been where it is today.
Yeah.
No.
And
no, that's right.
And
you could say that our grace, our ministry grace, is more foundational.
Yeah.
Foundational.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But you can only build a foundation so long.
Right.
You know. Right. I mean, it's
before you got to keep building, right?
Yeah. Like it's like having a nice cement floor. Oh,
it's beautiful.
Beautiful. For a little while, everybody is excited because you know we have the foundation.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have the chairs on a piece of cement after some years, it gets old.
That's right.
You're going to have to be able to put some framing on, put a wall on so you can hang some so you can hang some pictures.
Right. And a roof so you don't get snowed on.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. So those are all very important things. I mean, you do need a very good, strong foundation.
Yes, you do.
On faith.
Yes, you do.
There's no question about it. But then you got to have enough sense to move on, right?
Yeah.
And to let other people exercise their grace.
Yeah.
And start building it to a different level. Mm-hmm. I believe that's very important.
Yeah.
And you find that's where many people are, many pastors that I know are our age, that's where they are. You know, they have laid a foundation and they are in a transition that they have to give it over to others who can build on the foundation that's been laid. I believe that's how the Apostle Paul functioned, right? Mm-hmm. He even said, let every man pay attention, take heed to how they build on it, because you cannot lay any other foundation than Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
But it is faith that we build it on.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
And it feels very safe, right? Yeah. Like one of the things about the message, because we get questioned often, especially in the early days. Yeah. You know, I remember being at a ministerial and one of the pastors I talked to, He made a statement. He said, well, you guys, you just preach the word of faith. I preach the gospel. Mm-hmm. He said he tried to make a difference.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So I didn't have the answer immediately.
Right.
But then I studied that, right? Okay, how can I answer that for myself? Mm-hmm. Well, it's really clear. Romans chapter 1, I believe it's verse 17, says, we are ready to preach the gospel to you in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
A little while later, he said, in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, he said, or chapter 10, verse 8, he said, it's the word of faith which we preach.
Yeah.
So they're both the same.
There you go.
Yeah.
They're both the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
So You know, the reason why we put the emphasis on faith, first of all, because it literally changed our lives.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
It changed our lives from who we used to be to how we are now, right? Because faith is the foundation for everything that we do. But we found out pastoring, we found out that there are some things that are foundational to your faith as well, such as knowledge, right? Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know the will of God, it's really impossible to have faith.
That's right.
Right? Yep. I mean, there was a time in my life I didn't know what the will of God was regarding salvation. Yeah.
Right.
If you would have asked me, do you know you're going to heaven? I would have said, well, I sure hope so, because I don't know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know it was God's will for me to be healed. So how can you have faith unless you know the will of God
is? Yeah.
Right.
So we started teaching a lot on what is the will of God,
that's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people start with the sovereignty of God,
right?
A lot of people start with the sovereignty of God and wind up, well, you never know what the will of God is.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on, and they bring up all of the variables.
Yeah.
But true Christianity does not begin with the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. It begins with the cross,
right?
Because it's at the cross where the perfect will of God has been revealed to us.
That's
right. You know, when you get a good picture of what Jesus died for, then you find out pretty quick, he died for my sin, right? He literally became sin for us so that we might be the righteousness of God, right? That's you know, that's something you just got to know. But once you know it, praise the Lord, then it's a faith builder.
That's
right.
That's right. That's
builder.
A faith foundation.
I love it.
It is. So we found out from the cross, it's God's will for us to be healed because he literally became sick on the cross so that by his stripes you were healed. Mm-hmm. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know that, you know, and you leave it up to whatever the will of God is after you prayed, then you can't really pray the prayer of faith,
right?
Because the prayer of faith does not end with, if it be your will. You know, the will of God has to be established before you pray,
right?
If you want to pray the prayer of faith, that is, you must determine what the will of God is before you pray.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know what it sounds like. If I was sick, I want to know what the prayer of faith sounds like,
right?
Because James chapter 5 tells us, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord.
Yes.
And the prayer of faith shall save the sick.
Yeah.
So that might mean that the prayer of intercession might kill him. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
No, I believe prayer is great, right? But there are specifics that you got to pray, you know?
Good.
So I want to know what that sounds like. So, if it be your will at the end of a prayer, is not the prayer of faith.
Yeah.
It's a different. Brother Copeland taught. Yeah. I remember him teaching on that. That's the prayer of supplication.
Mm-hmm.
Of supplication and dedication, which is very good to know.
Yes.
Right.
Yep. Yes, it is.
Very helpful to know.
Anyway,
so we began teaching what is the will of God and base it on the cross.
Yeah.
For instance, I remember Brother Copeland, he had the book out, The Laws of Prosperity.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the title, The Laws of Prosperity.
Yeah.
Are there laws for prosperity? I did not know that.
Yeah.
But it really, like that, you know, all these little sayings or these titles really grabbed my spirit.
Yes.
Right? Because I wanted to know, are there laws to prosperity? I thought you got to be born in the right family.
Or you
have ties with the mafia or something, right? But, you know, when I read that book and I saw, you know what, prosperity, like the forgiveness of sin and the healing of the body, is connected to the cross, right? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I thought to myself, no, I did not know that. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor for your sake, that you through his poverty might be made rich.
Yeah.
You know, we just came out of Christmas.
that's right.
So I used to think that's a Christmas scripture.
Yeah.
Right.
I used to think that, you know, Jesus became poor at Christmas time. He was born in a stable. I thought he was poor.
Right.
only to find out that's not even true.
Nope.
even logical thinking, it's not even true, yeah. right? Yeah. He was born in the stable. They had money for the Bethlehem Inn, but they just did not have enough room.
Yeah. Right.
So he became poor at the same time he became sin at the same time.
It wasn't a financial problem. It was a planning problem.
Yeah. Exactly. That's right.
Yeah. I like that. That's really good. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. It's a planning problem.
Yeah. So if I'm hearing you correctly, because we're talking about how, you know, what struggles and what got you out, and that the word of faith has been so strong. It helped you lay a foundation, right?
Yeah.
And there was times where you needed to persevere and like, you know, are we staying? Are we going to continue to do this for our children?
Yeah.
And just to even hear that your children are still, like, they're in ministry and they're leading. They're not just like attending, they're leading.
Yeah.
And so they're following in the footsteps because you guys fed on the word.
That's like your legacy, right? That's
it absolutely
they're following,
is.
Yeah. They're following in.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can trace that back
to
what happened to my mom and dad.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah. I can trace that back, right? Wow. Because, you know, things don't just happen.
Right.
They don't.
By accident, right? There's a plan. There's a purpose. Mm-hmm. If we follow the plan, even sometimes it's unknowingly, but you know, it has amazing ramifications for the future. So I was born in Holland. You can, you know, people ask me my accent, sometimes I tell them I've been talking in tongues so much I picked up an accent.
That's awesome.
But really,
love it.
Really, it's a Dutch accent because my family moved to Canada when I was 15.
Okay.
I did go back for a little bit, but I was 17 when I came back. During that time, my dad had bought a business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we jokingly say he did his best to go broke in the first year. And he was really at his wit's end. Now, we did attend the church, but we were not born again believers.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. And he tried everything. Mm-hmm. He tried everything. He tried to borrow more money. He tried to get more money in different ways. It just did not work.
Yeah.
You know, so some people at the church we attended, they had what they call the charismatic Bible study. Yeah. And they invited them. Now, we didn't know what a Bible study was, much less a charismatic one.
Yeah.
but my dad said, we should go. Right? Uh-huh. We've tried everything. Why don't we go? So, you know, they went to the home where the Bible study was. Mm-hmm. They had two chairs waiting for them. They sat in those two chairs and they said to them, we're going to pray for you. Okay. So in their mind, that meant next week, Wednesday, when we happen to think about you, we'll offer a quiet little prayer.
Right.
But these were charismatic Christians.
Oh, yeah.
So they don't act that way.
Yeah.
They were loud.
Oh, yeah.
They had a little Jericho march around my mom and dad. They laid hands on them.
Awesome.
They prayed in tongues over them. They did everything what normal charismatic people would do.
Yeah.
So my mom and dad were not used to that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the meeting, my dad turned to my mom and he said to her, he said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Yeah, come on.
Amen. So come on. Believe that decision that he made that night did not just affect him.
Mm.
He gave his heart to the Lord. It did not only affect his business because it turned around, but it affected the entire family,
right?
Like he came home and he gathered us kids. I was the oldest of six. He gathered us around and he said, we're Christians now. I thought we already were, but I thought, okay, well, more power to you.
Wow.
And so that decision that he made that night has affected us, right? It affected us. Because we started paying attention. As a matter of fact, I'm paying attention because I believe it's a week or so afterwards that someone phoned him from Holland and said, Fred, do you need this much money? And with the exchange rate, it came to 40,000 Canadian dollars, the exact amount that my dad needed to get out of the hole.
Wow.
So he said, hoping that the man would loan it to him.
Yeah.
But he said, no, he said, I'm not going to loan it to you. I'm just going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was a financial miracle.
Yes.
Right? Our family really got introduced to this type of Christianity because of a financial miracle.
Wow.
It was a double miracle because I'd never heard of any Dutchman giving any money away.
Yeah,
that was not the norm. So I was amazed by all that. So I'm paying attention now. And my dad began to invite us to what was called, you know, back then was the Full Gospel Businessman. And I remember there was a gentleman who spoke and he made a statement, God not only blessed my business, but he said, I know I'm going to heaven. So he said, I feel so blessed. I remember thinking to myself, who do you think you are? Right? To me, it was the most arrogant statement that I had heard. I didn't know it was faith. I thought it was arrogance. Right? God bless my business. I could see that in my dad, so no problem. But he said, I know I'm going to heaven. I remember asking him, how do you know? Right? Asked afterwards. I was 19. I remember asking him, how do you know? Well, he didn't help me because he said, well, you just know that you know that you know. And I'm at a place I don't even know what I don't know.
That's right. At that age, you don't really know much.
No, that's very true.
So, but then the president of the meeting, he showed me the Bible. That's our final authority. He said, if you confess, Romans chapter 9, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, then you'll be saved. I said, I don't have any problem with that. I said, I confess that Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart. God raised him from the dead. He said, well, praise the Lord. Then you're part of the family. I said, whoa. I said, that's a little bit much. So I struggled. I didn't have any problem with the first part, but I struggled with making it personal. Right. So it took me 6 months. And finally, I dared to say what God said about me. And that's faith. Right.
That is
that's
faith.
Right. And I would say that's probably the area, right, where we found, at least, that's where most people struggle with the message. They don't dare to say what God has said about them, because it doesn't always sound humble. Let the weak say, I am strong. They would rather pray, and that's as far as we go. But if you pray, you believe that you receive, and now you have. So now you can say, I am strong. You know, so I remember, you know, being part of a church, and they struggled with that. They just struggled with it. Well, you can't just say that. Unless it's real to your spirit. And well, it's just the opposite. It won't become real to your spirit until you say it. Anyway.
That's one thing that's wanted to know. Like, what, because you've been in ministry for so long now, 40 years. What has been one of the things that you see people struggle with the most when it comes to Christianity or belief or Jesus?
Well, like I said a little bit earlier on, many, many people believe that everything begins with the sovereignty of God. And when you start there with the sovereignty of God, you will most likely wind up, well, you will never know what God wants or what is the will of God. You never know if it's God's will for you to be saved or healed or prosperous or just blessed. You don't really know that. So that's why I believe we got to go back to the cross. When Paul said, I preach Jesus Christ and am crucified, that's exactly what that means. You got to go to the fine print, right? Like, what did Jesus' death accomplish? You know, we celebrate it during the Lord's Supper, right? Because you go back to what did Jesus die for? So the more accurate we are with what he died for, the more knowledgeable we will become, and the easier it is to act on your faith. Like, we don't we don't really talk about how great your faith should be, right? Because that's what people struggle with too. Well, if I had more faith, you know, that's what I used to think. Oh, if I only had more faith. But the size of your faith is not really the issue. It begins with you knowing what the will of God is. The more we can, you know, the more that we can talk to you about what the will of God is based on the word, the easier it is for you to exercise faith. And the more that you use your faith, the more that your faith will grow. It's just like a spiritual muscle.
Right. So the more you dig into the word, the stronger your faith.
Amen.
The more you read, the more you receive what the word has, the stronger your faith.
Well, the more you know the Lord, right? The more you know him.
That's right.
And who he is and his love for us.
Yeah.
The more you trust.
That's right.
And then faith is just like a natural, it just comes out of that.
Yeah.
It's not a struggle.
No.
That's I can remember learning that, like, I gotta have more faith. I gotta have more faith. And then I thought, no, I just need to remember how much he loves me.
Yeah.
And I know he wants me well.
Yeah.
I know he wants to meet my needs.
Yes.
So then it's that's a, like, I love you, Lord. Thank you. It's really it's amazing how that works.
Yeah.
Because it's not a struggle. It's a relationship
with
him.
Yeah. It's not a how much faith problem. It's a closeness problem.
I think so.
Yeah. It's just how close you are to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That fixes everything.
Yeah. It really does.
Wow. Yeah. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will.
Yeah.
It shall be done unto you. So to me, abiding would mean it's more than a visit.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like if I would come by your house, I would knock on your door and say, can I come over for a cup of tea? You might say, okay, well, that's okay. I can make some time. But if I come by your house, I have two suitcases and I say, can I abide with you?
Oh yeah.
That would paint a different picture.
Yes, it would.
So
very different.
So maybe, you know, it might help if we go from just paying the Lord a visit on a Sunday morning to actually abiding in him and let his word abide in us, you know, spend some time,
That's
not just, you know, we sometimes say quality time. I would say you got to do them both, quantity time and quality time.
That's good. Yeah. And I like the analogy you gave. You bring your baggage to him. Like you,
you that's know, right.
You come with your luggage. Come with your baggage. Just come and abide in him.
Yeah.
That's such a good image.
Yeah.
Wow.
Can I stay here? Can I stay here a while? Yeah, well, of course. Actually, he's the one that's been
knocking on our door.
That's right.
Yes, he's the one that's been knocking our door. He wants to have dinner with us.
Yes, he does.
So, amen.
Yeah.
That's where I believe that's where the secret is.
Yeah,
that's so good.
It's a good
I can
secret.
Remember when I was about 12.
Yeah,
a friend of mine was in a very serious car accident. I thought, okay, Lord, what's your purpose? Why did you do this? Why did you allow this to happen? And you never can come up with an answer. Yeah. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 16, I started learning about faith.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I thought, oh, wait a minute. This is a whole new world.
Yeah.
We have some authority here. My whole world opened up.
Yeah.
Reading Brother Hagin's books, Brother Copeland's books. Wow.
Yeah.
I grew up in a very stable Christian home, but I never knew any of this.
Mm. Yeah.
So when this came, I was like, this is a whole new world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a whole new way of thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. When you listen to Brother Copeland's message on blood covenant, that really was an eye opener.
Yes. I remember that so well.
Yeah.
That's like 40 years ago.
40 years ago.
More than.
Yeah. More than.
Wow.
40
years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. What stood out?
Well, I had no idea.
No.
That we have because of Abraham and he explained the whole covenant that God and Abraham made together and how it relates to us today. I'd like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're in covenant. Mm-hmm. And covenant is a serious thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't fool around with a covenant.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. That's right.
So
that's so good.
Yeah.
What wisdom would you guys give those younger leaders that are walking through their vision and their calling right now?
And their itches.
And their itches, the itches that they have.
Yeah.
What would you say to them right now? Like, say they're at the beginning and they're just starting out and they're finding out what God is calling them to do and they're about to start walking out that vision. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, get plugged into a local church, right? Get plugged into a local church where you are able to exercise your grace, right? Everybody's got a ministry grace because that's where things begin to happen for you. I would also say, it'd be very helpful for you to get knowledge of the word, right? That would be good. And, you know, you're not going to get it done just on a Sunday morning,
right? Yeah.
You're not even going to get it done on a Sunday morning, Sunday night.
Yeah,
right.
You're not even going to get it done on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I believe your Bible school is very good.
Yeah.
Kenneth Copeland Bible School is very good because you're just going to get immersed into the word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Baptized into the word.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's the washing of the word.
Yeah.
I would say that's a major yep. factor, yeah. right? Yes. That will help you tremendously.
That's your platform.
Yeah. 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 Like I believe if you're starting out yep. and you want to be a successful mm-hmm. believer mm-hmm. Yeah. and a successful leader, yeah. there's two things you got to know: who you are in Christ, that's number right. one. Yeah. Yeah. And number two, who you are in the body of Christ. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're able to accurately answer those two questions, you will do well.
Yeah.
You will
and
do very well.
I think another one is stay out of offense.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That is,
yeah. Come on. That's a big one.
That's yes. I think that's a huge one.
Yes. Yeah.
If you can learn to stay out of being offended,
mm-hmm.
you've really
yeah.
done well.
Expound on that a little bit.
Well, because you know, yeah. like, when you're starting out, you have all these big ideas and think, oh, and then it doesn't happen
yeah.
as you think. And so you think, okay, I've got to be in here for the long haul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You really have to make a quality decision. I'm in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. I'm here. God's called me. You have to know God's mm-hmm. called you.
Yeah, that's right.
You have to know that. And then you have to, okay, yeah. Lord, you're the head of the church. That's helped me so much when things went wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
You're the head of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will follow you and I will do as you say. That's the first dedication. Mm-hmm. And then things happen. Oh my goodness, mm-hmm. things happen. People get angry. People leave. People are upset with you. And then you've got this, I'm so mad. I'm so like, they did this. They said that. But then you have that feeling inside because the Holy Spirit is talking. You know the word.
Yeah.
You know how to walk in love.
Yes.
And that to me was so helpful.
Yeah.
That is, I think, a huge, huge thing. You have to stay out of being angry, offended.
Right. Yeah.
A heart that is open to the Lord and open to others.
Yeah.
And then that horrible feeling goes away. And you think, mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. And if you have to do it 4, 5, 6, 7 times yeah. a day yeah. over the yeah. same situation.
Yeah. Right.
Nope. I choose the word.
Yes.
I'm full of love.
Come on. Yeah.
I know how to walk in love.
Yep, yep, yep.
That
yep,
to me
yep.
is a really big one.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Great okay. peace have they which love thy law.
Yes.
And nothing shall offend them. Right.
That's right. Oh, that's
so,
good.
But still a choice, though.
Yes, it's a choice. yeah. And it's not
it's
easy.
A
hard choice.
It is a choice.
It's not easy because stuff happens in ministry.
No. Yes, it does. Yeah.
As everyone who goes to church knows.
Yeah. yeah.
And, right? and we're living in a world that celebrates offense.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Like,
that's right,
you yeah. know, you get the most attention
yeah.
when you are the victim.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it's the opposite of Christianity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the opposite, right?
Yes.
Like we don't go by yes. by victimhood,
right.
you know, because yeah. we are born again.
Yeah.
So we are born of the greatest victor
yes.
of all times,
that's
Jesus
right.
Christ. So
yeah.
so being a victim does not work for us.
Mm-hmm.
yeah.
So it's opposite from the
yeah.
whole
yeah.
world system.
The victory to, yeah, the yeah. world system. And if we can't be in victory and walk as victim at the same time.
It just doesn't
no
go
sense.
Together.
Yeah, you gotta pick one Vic.
yeah, that's right.
Exactly.
And that's the thing,
yeah.
you get to pick.
Yeah,
yes.
that's right.
That's the thing
yeah,
that's which right. I love so much. We have a choice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah.
We have a choice. You're never a victim. Yeah. You get to choose.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, that's yeah. for sure.
Yeah.
You get
yeah.
to choose. That's what one of the major things I think, well, I hope I taught the children that.
Okay, oh, you've done really
like,
well.
Choose which one are you going to choose?
yes.
Right? Yeah. You can walk lesson. Like this or you can walk like this. Your choice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
it really empowers.
If there's one thing you've done extreme, well, you've done many things very well, but I know for sure that you have trained our children to never be offended, never take offense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to take it,
that's
right?
right.
Yeah.
You
right.
got to take offense.
Yes.
So there is a choice,
yes.
right? You don't have to.
Yeah.
You don't have to take it. One story that comes to my mind about, you know, the Canaanite woman, right? How she went after Jesus, you know, wanting to let him know about her demon possessed daughter, got a daughter back home.
Right.
Jesus did not answer her a word,
right?
right? Most people would be offended
oh, yeah.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody, you know, he's not paying attention,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
right?
Yep.
Then
yep.
his 12 disciples wanted to get rid of her,
yeah.
right? She's annoying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's not going to quit anytime
yeah.
soon, yelling and screaming
mm-hmm.
after us.
Right.
If you're not going to minister to her, Jesus, please do us a favor,
yeah.
get rid of the woman.
yeah.
Yeah.
So then he said, well, I'm not sent,
mm-hmm.
you know, to her. You know, like she's not part of my mission because
yeah.
I'm sent to the lost sheep
that's right.
of the house of Israel.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people would
yeah.
be really offended.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So
yeah.
she changed her approach.
Yeah.
right? Instead of doing what you've been doing, she worshiped the Lord.
Yeah.
And at least it got a little bit better in that Jesus acknowledged her and began a conversation with her. But still, it was not that good because he said, it's not right, he said, for me to take the children's bread, like that includes healing and deliverance, for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs.
Right.
Like
another point for offense.
He called her a dog.
Yep.
Right? Yep. Which is, you know, so I don't know of anybody that wants to be called a dog, but it's actually worse. It's actually a racial slur, right? Because if you're not inside, if you're not an Israeli, you're the outside. You're called the dogs,
right?
Yeah, so, so she heard a racial slur. Mm-hmm. Now, in our day and age, she'd had reason to take him to court and might win the court case, but you're not gonna win with the Lord that way.
That's right.
Right? So she did not get offended. She could have used it as an opportunity to storm off and say, I've had enough, you know, of you and your little evangelistic team. I'm gonna go somewhere else where they show me some love.
Yeah.
Right? But she did not. She said, okay, if you want me to be a dog, I'll be a dog. Yeah. But as a dog, at least I have access underneath the table. I understand I can't sit at the table.
Yes.
That's for the kids.
Yeah.
But all I need from you, Jesus, is as a dog, underneath the table are the crumbs. Yeah. And all I need from you is one little crumb to get my daughter healed.
That's faith.
And Jesus
right there.
Got excited. He said, "Ooh, woman, great is your faith.
Yeah.
Be it unto you even as you will."
Wow.
So rather than getting offended, you know, she said, okay. You know, she just took it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So there are times that we just got to learn to work with the Lord.
That's right.
You know, even if it's hard at times.
Walk in humility.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
He might say some things to us that might offend us as well.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right?
You know you've reached full humility when you are unoffendable.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 It takes a humble heart to, we were learning that this weekend, that it takes a fully humbled heart to be unoffended.
Yeah.
And to receive anything.
Yeah.
Very true.
And pride.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like it's not possible to be offended unless you get in pride first.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So you do have to humble yourself.
As Joel often would say, you love yourself too much. Mm-hmm. You gotta work on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He was talking about that a couple of Sundays ago in one of his sermons.
Yep.
What
it's
a good
very
pastor.
Very true.
Yeah. What a good pastor.
I said, yes, Pastor Joel.
That's a good word.
It is a good word.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This podcast is about everyday life through a faith lens and to how to live in victory. And I think we've touched on every single one of those really well today.
Yes.
And it is inspiring to hear, even as parents, because the first place of ministry is our home.
Yes, parents. That's so true.
Yes, amen.
Those are the ones that we lead, our kids.
Yeah.
We lead them every single day through their highs and their lows.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we get to minister to them and teach them and love them and be unoffendable when they talk to you sometimes, not respectfully.
There was one line that actually Pastor Joel had said to us. We were talking about parenting and ministry and kids and
stuck with us.
It really stuck with us as parents and this would be a testament to your guys' parenting because he told us, you know, you introduce your kids to Jesus before you introduce them to ministry.
Yeah.
And that was something that really hit me because I feel like growing up I had been introduced to ministry before Jesus. Mm-hmm. So you almost have to undo some things, right?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
and that was something he talked to us about. Yeah. And
I think pastors' kids can go off the rails that way.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just ministry. It's work. Yep. Parents are always gone. They're you know.
Yeah.
That's really good.
It was very wise. It really stuck with us.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for
the work
that you've done.
Yeah, so thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Yeah. It was fun.
Fun to
talk to you.
No, and would you guys, as we end this podcast, there are partners and friends listening to this podcast and watching from all over Canada.
Mm-hmm. And even the world.
Would you pray over them today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pray a blessing. Pray.
Go ahead,
pray.
Okay. Yeah. I'll start and you finish.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear precious Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for Brother Copeland's ministry that has gone all over the world, for the Believer's Voice of Victory that is going all over the world. We pray for all the partners in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to come on them in such
thank
a way
you,
that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt what the hope of their calling yeah. is, that they know the immense greatness of the inheritance that you have invested into each one of them. I ask you to give them a clear picture of who they are in Christ and the fact that they are now seated with Christ in heavenly places, in a place of authority, far above every principality and power, far above every sickness and disease, far above lack and the curse and every need. I just pray in Jesus' name that they are strong in you, strong in the word, strong in the spirit of faith. I thank you that you're raising up families in these last days who will take the word, this word of faith that we preach, to the uttermost parts of the earth, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. I pray for all the partners and those who are watching and listening. Father, you have been so good to us. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the word, Lord, that you have placed in all of our hearts. The word of faith, Lord. We count it as precious, and we count it as dear to our hearts, Father, that you have revealed that to our hearts. We thank you, Lord. I thank you for the partners who stand strong, Lord, in these times. I thank you those that call you Lord, because you are Lord. I thank you that we will know the breadth and the depth and the length and the height of your love, so that we may stand strong and as salt in the earth and as a bright light that shines, Father, in this time that we are living. We thank you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Wow, thank you so much for joining us today, for praying, and for sharing all of the wisdom that you guys have gathered through these 40 years. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank
it has
you
been
for
an honor.
Us.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's thank been you. An honor to be with you guys.
Yes. Yeah, it's
you
good.
Too.
Thank you.
It's good.
Hello, this is Lana from Maple Ridge, BC. This podcast is made possible by partners like me. When you partner with KCM, you're helping send free resources like this podcast to people around the world. Find more faith-filled resources at kcmcanada.ca.
Thank you for tuning in today. We pray this episode has stirred and strengthened your faith. If it has, don't forget to subscribe and share this podcast with someone who needs encouragement. We also have a free PDF resource available for this episode, complete with study notes and key takeaways to help you stay built up in faith throughout the week. This podcast was made free thanks to the amazing support of our partners. Visit the link in the description to find out more.